Honestly, was worried about that. I really was. But I think our team really handled it. Maybe we've been here a while. You know, obviously, we've been through things in the past, things that happened, distractions. And I think our core of this team knew what this was about and that everyone was level-headed. And yes, James was not on the practice field, but he was at walkthroughs. He was in meetings. And he wasn't just there physically. Like, he was engaged in those things and engaged with his teammates.
Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean yesterday talking about the James Cook extension. The Bills head off to Chicago today for a practice tomorrow and then preseason game number 2 against the Chicago Bears. But Cook gets his deal. I want to read you a little bit here from Bill Barnwell on this contract. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Thursday. We opened the show talking about how silly I did about how when we talk contracts, I just think we're always somewhat in the dark and the whole process is kind of silly and stupid. Mm-hmm. So Barnwell pointed out that the real money on James Cook comes in at about 11.5 per year, and that, finger quotes, $30 million guaranteed was a severe case of agent inflation, because there's $15 million guaranteed at signing, 5.3 of which he was already getting for this year. Mm-hmm. We get agent inflation. I think we also get team inflation the other way. We get everybody picking apart a deal the way that they want. But Barnwell had something else on Kyren Williams here that, Joe, I'm going to give you some blast from the past names that you're, I think, really going to appreciate.
Okay.
So he points out Kyren Williams is a piece of evidence that the running back market has not been propelled forward. So there's this big conversation about how running backs are back. Barkley, Henry, James Cook said he wants 15. And he pointed out on Kyren Williams, while the deal is reported $11 million, on percentage of the cap, that is just above Nyheim Hines, Gio Bernard, and pre-breakout Austin Eckler a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
So he goes on to point out that in 2017, Devonta Freeman signed for almost 5% of the cap.
Okay.
Which in today's money is $14 million per season.
Yeah.
So in 2017, a Devonta Freeman was a $14 million running back in today's money.
Yeah.
And where are running backs? They're all coming in under that. Yeah. So while salaries are going up and Cook's got, whether you want to call it a $12 million AAV or 11.5, or really it's kind of 10, whatever it is, it's important to remember that these deals, while they look bigger and bigger, especially at this position, this is where I landed the whole time about why it's okay to sign him, because we get sticker shock on the idea of 11 or 12 or 15, but at the top of the position, getting that little money, by comparison to what it got 7 years ago, it's still low. Running backs are still coming in at reasonable value on the cap.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that context was great from Barnwell. Like, Gio Bernard and Nyheim Hines got 3.4% of the cap couple of years ago, and here's James Cook getting like 4% of the cap.
But again, like, why are they getting that low of a percentage of the cap?
Because
everyone believes you can reasonably replace them with a guy who's making $900,000.
That's right. Reasonably replace them. So reasonably replace them means that the guys that make a big difference, GMs are going to say, I think he makes enough of a difference
to pay him 10 times what the rookie's going to make.
Yes, because the rookie, maybe I can't count on the rookie to stay healthy or have fumbling problems or be a big-time difference maker. And the other thing about this, Joe, you know, rookies making $900,000, some rookies make that. You had the numbers yesterday about what's Ashton Jeanty going to make?
He's $35 million is guaranteed.
Right.
I don't know what the per year is, but $35 million guaranteed is already second in the league at the position.
Right. So running backs are in this spot where you want a second contract, and unless you're a GM that's willing to pay, I don't know, about the same to guarantee yourself a blue chip running back, now mm-hmm. you're taking guys in like the second, third, and fourth round and hoping one of them hits. And the Bills have done this with, of course, Singletary, Moss, and Cook. Mm-hmm. And Ray Davis, and they've identified one guy of that group as, yeah, this guy should be re-signed. We should pay to keep this and put a stop to, I want to say they're going to put a stop to trying to find running backs in the draft, right?
I was going to say, because they're here. Like, there's no diamond in the rough coming unless Ray Davis takes some massive step forward. Like, he's here for his rookie contract, and Ty Johnson signed a multi-year deal, and James Cook is here. So, like, the idea that they would draft a guy in the fourth round, and then, oh, look, he's Bucky Irving. And guess what? Oh, he's the starter now because he's amazing, or he's on par with James Cook at least, because that's how good he is. Like, you are not having that happen in the next 3 years. Is three too many? I mean, Ty Johnson's only signed for two, so maybe in that third year, that's when you'll start looking for somebody else. But that's a little bit, I guess, of the disappointment of the signing, is that they're not going to be taking shots at the position like that, where every year there's a guy in the mid rounds who ends up being awesome.
I don't want that shot. Is it wrong? Is it twisted that maybe the best part about this for me is that they won't do that?
I want them to keep taking shots on the cheap running backs. And by doing this, they will no longer be taking those shots.
But it's where you save, even if we're going to go for a flyer, and maybe you want to say that a fourth-round running back is much more likely to make a big difference and be one of the best in the NFL than a fourth-round defensive tackle, right? And I might even get you that. I might even give you that.
Yeah, yeah.
But put it this way. If I'm using, for the rest of the time, you want to make it a third, you want to make it a fourth, you want to make it a second because that's what Cook is?
Split the difference.
If for the rest of my franchise's history, I spend third-round picks on running backs, I get the least actual return because the top of the market is 20 and the second tier of the market is 11, like Cook. If I spend those picks on, I don't want to say quarterbacks because quarterbacks never make it to the third that are good. It just almost never happens. I want to spend those thirds on receivers, defensive ends, defensive tackles, corners. If that guy hits, I'm saving way more. I'm getting actually much more value on, if you gave me the seventh best defensive tackle in the league in the third round versus the seventh best running back in the league in the third round, the defensive tackle is a much bigger value. And B, when I'm re-signing that guy, like, those guys are harder to find. I think the replaceability of the running back position is kind of, I don't know, it's a double-edged sword. Like, I get it. I don't disagree. You can find them. But when you keep doing it, I don't know, would the Bills be a better team if they had not spent four picks or three picks on running backs? I feel like they could have had other players that would have been better ideas. And here they are. They end up with Cook. Now they're going to stop the running back parade, which we've seen. You know, four picks, if I'm including Nyheim Hines, four picks spent on chasing a pass-catching running back.
The difference, though, I would say with all of those positions, I think that's a good point. Like, in terms of the money, it is more worth to draft those players. The difference is, though, running back is the one position where the guy almost always plays right away. Like, there's no development. The guys enter the league in their primes. You're going to see them. You're going to get a look at them.
Cook didn't. Right,
Well, he did to some degree. I mean, by the second half of that first year. And that was, and what was that as a story? It was late second round pick. Why on earth is he not on the field? That's not the same when it's a Dwayne Carter or when it's a Dorian Williams or when the first year it's Terrell Bernard or, just go down the list. These two are running backs. Harrison Phillips. Like, a lot of these players don't play right away. So. And part of that is, I think a lot of those other positions need more development. Running back is a rotational position where guys are trusted usually right into the league. And I get a better idea of whether they're productive or not immediately. And I can use those guys immediately. I don't know if Landon Jackson's really going to play much this year. Dwayne Carter didn't play much last year. Like, running backs in that round, they will play that much that year. Ray Davis last year, it's 100 carries, right?
To this point then, like, if you think they're so replaceable, which... Again, I think there's a fair point here. Would you be good with Ty Johnson being your backup? Or sorry, being your starter? Like, Ty Johnson's your starter, $2.5 million per year. Could you get away with it?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, then why spend a third-round pick? Like, to me, draft capital is it. If you think it's super replaceable, don't draft it. Sign it in free agency. Go get your Ty Johnson. Go get your who else signed this year in free agency? I don't know, Javonta Williams. I don't know who you want.
Yeah, right. The bargain bin $1-3 million guys. Yeah.
Right, where the Bills have hunted plenty of bargain bin running backs over the years. Again, it's still, that's one of the biggest reasons I like this. I am taken running back off the board. By the way, we have a bet on the bet board. What are they more likely to draft first, linebacker or running back? They didn't go with either this year, and now for next year, I feel great.
Although you shouldn't feel great about linebacker, though.
I mean, they're not going to draft a running back.
No, but they're not going to draft a linebacker.
I mean, Matt Milano's kind of old. You never know.
Yeah, that's true.
803-05.
No, you're right. If they hadn't restructured Milano's deal, I would feel better about it, but they did.
803-0550, 1-888-552-550. If you want to give us a call, your thoughts on Cook, we'd love to have him. Join us. It was about 24 hours ago, almost, about 7:30 yesterday, the news broke. James Cook signed his contract extension. So if you've not had a chance to get in yet, you can give us a ring. Meanwhile, I have a game to play.
A James Cook game.
Yes.
Excited. All right.
Are you ready for it?
Yes, I am. Let's go.
Right. Here's the game. I could have made this instant trivia, but decided that this would be a better way to do it. And that is James Cook, now that he has his extension, where will he end up in Bills history for all-time rushing yards? That's right.
Okay.
We're going to play Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger, yes. The return of Cliffhanger.
The return of Cliffhanger.
Love it.
So James Cook is currently 16th in Bills history in rushing yards.
Okay.
Just ahead of Kenneth Davis.
Okay.
James Cook, 16th. Joe, I'm going to give you numbers. You tell me if he will get that number before he is done playing for the Bills. It doesn't have to be on this contract extension. Just where will James Cook end all-time rushing yards for the Bills? Will he get 100 more yards?
Yes, he will.
He will pass Marshawn Lynch by doing that.
Wow.
Will he get 300 more yards?
Yes.
Jim Braxton and Antoine Smith.
Okay.
He will pass in Bills history for rushing yards. Will James Cook get 600 more career rushing yards with the Buffalo Bills?
Yes, he will.
He will pass Devin Singletary and Cookie Gilchrist.
Okay. Cookie Gilchrist really didn't play here that long, I guess.
Will he get 1,000 more rushing yards in his career?
Yes, he will.
He will pass C.J. Spiller, Willis McGahee, and Ray Carlton.
Okay.
We're moving up here. Will James Cook, maybe I should really start to pick this apart a little more. Let me do the math. Will James Cook, who has 2,638 career rushing yards, will he get 1,400 more yards?
Yes, he'll get 1,400 more.
He'll pass LeSean McCoy.
Don't think he'll do that this year, though.
1,500.
Yes.
He'll pass Travis Henry. Will he get 1,600?
Yes.
In his Bills career. Okay, this is a fun one. He'll pass Josh Allen.
What's Josh's number?
4,142.
So he's 1,500 behind?
Behind Josh, yeah. Which is kind of nuts, right? Now, Josh's number will continue to move as well.
I know. So...
Which, by the way, after this, if you want to, we'll play Josh Allen cliffhanger where he ends up in all-time rushing.
Can I almost project that Cook will pass Allen and then Allen will pass him back later?
And then you could. Depends how far you want to.
I think this is what I would say. Cook will at some point be above Allen on the all-time rushing list, but by the end of their careers, Allen will be higher.
All right. Well, we'll do Allen cliffhanger.
But Allen's higher. So we'll just keep Allen. Allen will stay higher.
Okay. So 1,500 yards he passes where Josh Allen is right now.
Yeah.
Will he get 2,000 more rushing yards in his career?
Yes.
He'll pass Joe Cribbs.
Are we in the top five already?
After passing Cribbs, he is fourth.
Okay.
Fourth all time in rushing yards. Will James Cook get 3,009 rushing yards in his Bills career from this moment? 3,009.
Yes, he will.
He will pass Fred Jackson, all-time rushing yards for the Bills.
Okay. Fred's now fourth.
Fred's third.
Third.
Now Cook is third all-time.
I feel like this is where we're going to stop.
You know, you might have a bit of a gap here.
It's a guess. I don't know what the gap is. I can just imagine, though, that the gap is large.
Yeah. Will James Cook get 7,500 more rushing yards in his career?
No, he will not.
No,
he
will not.
You know, as you were starting, I'm like, what's the number I want? I'm like, I think he's going to get, like, set the line to, like, 3,500 more yards for the Bills.
Yeah.
7,000.
7,500 more rushing yards.
No, he will not do that.
He will not do that.
What would he have to do? He'd have to play the entirety of this contract.
And get like 1,300 a year. And then have another contract.
And I don't think, like, If he averaged 1,000 per year, he'd have to play for the Bills until he's like 35 years old, right? To have a shot. Any shot. No, I don't believe he will get that far. And I'd be floored if he came close.
All right. So you predict through the cliffhanger game. I mean, there's a pretty big gap. It's, 4,500 yards between Fred and OJ. So
yeah.
When Cook moves into third all time, he's got a lot of time to be there.
I do think, though, as I said, I think when it's all set and done, he's going to be fourth. I think Josh is going to be third.
So that means you think Josh Allen will pass Fred Jackson in all-time rushing yards with the Bills?
Yes.
He needs 1,500 yards roughly to do it. 1,505.
Yes. Yeah, he'll do that. I mean, I know the running eventually is going to cool off a little bit, but we talked about yesterday Steve Young, because Allen said in that Bussin' with the Boys podcast, he's on a Steve Young kick right now. Like, he's watching Steve Young highlights. And didn't you tell me, I don't have the stats in front of me, Steve Young ran for like a crazy amount of yards, like a 38?
Like, Steve Young is, let's play the grandpa tells you about a player, because you didn't really see Steve Young, did you?
No, 99 he's done, man. So I don't remember.
I used to kind of regularly say that I think Steve Young's the best quarterback I ever watched. I feel like I used to say it. He's the all-time leader in passer rating.
But you don't say that anymore?
I don't know. Like, he doesn't come up as much. He's not in GOAT conversations because he didn't win a million Super Bowls like, Brady or Manning or Mahomes. Uh-huh. But Steve Young, not only was Steve Young an athletic quarterback, Joe, if you want to make a comparison or you want to see a career arc that you want to mimic if you're Allen, he's had a ton more success than Steve Young had. By the time Steve Young is 30, he's only played like 10 games in a year, and he went 5-5.
Right. He started 1 year in Tampa. Fully,
2 years
but
in
he,
Tampa.
But he went 2-12.
Yeah, 2 years in Tampa, wasn't very good.
Right.
Spot duty for the Niners. His first year as a full-time starter for the Niners, he went 14-2.
Yeah.
And then 10-6, 13-3, 8-3, 9-3, 12-3, 11-4. He won a million games with the Niners.
He won MVP the first year he was a full-time starter for the
Niners. He's a three-time first-team All-Pro. He won the MVP twice.
Yep.
He finished second once. Like, Steve Young was an unbelievable quarterback. But the best part about looking at his career arc, if you are a Allen fan that wonders, when will his physical peak be? When will be on the other side of that? Steve Young started being amazing at 31. 31.
Mm-hmm.
If Allen had the years that Steve Young had from 31 to 37, he's like one of the five best quarterbacks to ever play. I mean, I don't know if he's going to get to the seven Super Bowls like Brady, but Allen's already one of the best to ever play the position. I think we could put him on a, top 20 list.
Yes.
And if he has this 7 year 30s, I mean, good night. Steve Young was amazing.
Yeah. Pair that with like one or two Super Bowls and he could be top five, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Top five for that? I mean, like in the Peyton Manning territory. If it'll get divulged into rings culture, which will be Mahomes and Brady. But after that, what about after that?
Well,
could he be third?
Every once in a while, I like to say there is a scenario where Allen could pass Mahomes on rings. I'm just saying it's possible.
I mean, of course there's a scenario.
There's unlikely?
A scenario where the Sabres win the Cup this year, too.
You're saying he can't get four?
What's more likely, the Sabres winning the Stanley Cup this year or Allen getting to four? Probably Allen getting to four, right? Probably. I don't know if the odds would say that, but it feels like the Allen one might be more likely.
I mean, if you put that in a Twitter poll, I think it is 90-10.
In favor of Allen getting to four?
Yes. I think that's 90-10. Is that wrong?
It might be. It's not wrong. It might be wrong to say that, but nobody's going to think that way, if that makes sense. Like, if some scientist was going to calculate the odds on those two outcomes, I wonder if the Sabres winning the Cup this year would be higher, but I can't. I bet you, I don't even know if it's 10. It might be like 2% would say the Sabres winning the Cup's more likely.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, that could happen. But what has to happen for that to happen? You need to start beating the Chiefs, and you need Andy Reid to retire, right?
Yeah, I don't know. We joked the other day about Andy Reid answering questions about the Chiefs' window closing, which I've not seen anybody that I would respect saying that the Chiefs' window is closing. However,
no,
I have seen plenty of, they're not some unbeatable juggernaut, and I told you this offseason, I predict that the Allen is better than Mahomes conversation in terms of who's the best quarterback right now. That starts to become a real honest thing where people are not uncomfortable to say Allen. I mean,
yeah, it's
just because, right? The latest is Bill Simmons of The Ringer, like his tiers, like Allen's number one. And again, you don't have to trust him, or you could pick anybody you want. It seems like there's at least a weakening of the shield that Mahomes has for making and winning the Super Bowl all the time, because the last couple seasons he's not been great. I have a stat of the day basically on that as well. Scott Barrett on this fantasy football writer, who had something about the Chiefs passing game the last three seasons. And, you know, we've watched the Chiefs beat the Bills and have the answers against the Bills. Meanwhile, in the regular season, how does it go every year, Joe? We watch them and we say, they don't look that good. They look like they're beatable. Somebody can get them. Scott Barrett had this stat. It's about deep passing touchdowns, not just, you know, overall offense, but deep passing game. Mm-hmm. In the last three seasons, the Chiefs have seven deep passing touchdowns, which is last in the league.
Wow.
And not only is that last in the league, they have 20 fewer than Derek Carr over that same span. Just to give you an idea of the
Chiefs.
Well,
he did play last year, but he's Derek Carr.
Right, but the point is, like, we've watched the Chiefs turn from this, oh my God, they can throw it everywhere with Tyreek Hill, to they don't ever hit deep anymore, ever. They drafted Worthy to try to do that, and they were not able to hit it.
Right.
But you might say, like, oh, what's the reason behind this? Scott Barrett had more numbers on this. On the Chiefs' deep passing game, which is one of the things they're talking about trying to get back, Barrett had this. In yards, again, last three seasons, deep passing yards, the Chiefs are 28th.
Yeah.
They're 32nd in touchdowns. They are 27th in catchable throw rate on deep passes. And 28th in turnover-worthy throw rate on deep passes.
He's kind of having the inverse of Brady's career, right? Brady in 07, you know, and then beyond, is like throwing for a billion yards and
he's a
billion
bomber.
Touchdowns. He's a bomber. Randy Moss down the field, Gronk up the seam, like just chucking the ball all over the place. At the beginning for Brady, it was all of this, wasn't it? Like, the numbers weren't as crazy, at least.
Yeah.
More credit being given to the defense and to the surrounding cast, but not getting the gaudy numbers, not setting the world on fire offensively. That's literally Mahomes, but it's flipped, isn't it? He comes in throwing 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, and then 5 years later, he's winning, but he's like all of this. What do you mean he's bottom five in all of these passing statistics, and yet they've gone to the Super Bowl twice? Or 3 years in a row. How is that possible?
They built the defense perfectly right at the time when their offense dropped off.
Right. No, that's man, that is it, right? Like, if their defense hadn't become stellar in the last couple of years,
they would have just
the shine would be off. What would they be right now? What would they be thought of right now? They'd be respected. They would be a team that won, you know, two Super Bowls. But it would be 4 or 5 years without that defense since they had made it. They wouldn't be a dynasty. They wouldn't be on ESPN tonight with their own show. I don't think.
The Kingdom. You can watch it tonight if you just need to get more Chiefs in your life. Great. It's on tonight?
I don't know. It's on ESPN, I guess.
I'm going to unplug all my televisions in my house tonight. Accidentally puts it on.
They're the world's team, so, and we are part of the world, team. So I think we have to watch.
Yeah, the world's team. Jeremy and Joe, Sal coming up at 8 o'clock.
Sorry, one last thing on that. I just want to make this declaration right now. The owner saying that they're the world's team, they are forbidden forever to wear Us Against the World shirts. Okay?
That's fair. For the rest of time,
I never want to see them do it because I'm going to remember that they call themselves the world's team.
That's funny. That's a good point. Sal at 8 to give us the breakdown of yesterday's practice, and James Cook signing his extension. You can jump on as well. We have wide open phones, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Thanks for playing along the home version of the cliffhanger game. James Cook, according to Joe, will be the third all-time rusher and then be passed by Josh Allen, who will be third all-time in rushing yards for the Bills in the history, which could happen. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.